John 1, 50 and 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw the end of the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So greater things is our title tonight. Lord, give us wisdom and your presence and your power. Use your word to teach and grow us tonight. We thank you for the privilege to be here and open your word together and love you. In Christ's name, amen. So I won't give all the references for the sake of time, but I will walk through all the miracles of Jesus Christ chronologically. How's that? And just review them. If I had to turn to all the passages, it would take too long. But you'll recognize them all anyway. So Christ had an amazing ministry of miracles. And he told the disciples, one day you will see greater things than the things that you... He was referring to this specific event that, you know, he was so amazed that Jesus actually saw him without seeing him, that Christ could see other places, see the future and so forth. And Jesus said, you're going to see greater things. Not only as my disciples are you going to see them performed by me, but you yourselves will see greater things, of course, in the future as believers. So just quickly, here are the miracles of Christ in chronological order. Water into wine in John chapter 2. John chapter 4, he healed the nobleman's son. In Matthew 4, the drought of fishes. In Luke 4, the healing of the man with the unclean spirit. Matthew 8, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Also in Matthew 8, he healed all that were sick. Also in Matthew 8, he healed a leper. Matthew 9, he healed the paralytic that was born by four friends, remember? In John 5, he healed the impotent man. Matthew 12, he healed the man with the withered hand. In Matthew 12, the Bible says he healed multitudes. In Matthew 8, he healed the centurion's servant. In Luke 7, he raised the widow's son from the dead. In Matthew 12, he healed the demoniac. In Matthew 8, he calmed the storm for the disciples. In Matthew 8, he healed multiple demoniacs. In Matthew 9, he healed the woman with the issue of blood. Matthew 9, he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Matthew 9, he healed the two blind men. In Matthew 9, he healed the man that couldn't speak. John 6, he fed the 5,000. And also in John 6, he walked on water. Matthew 14, he healed the multitudes. Matthew 15, he healed the woman's daughter. Matthew 15, he healed the multitudes again. In Mark 7, he healed the man who was deaf and dumb. In Matthew 15, he fed the 4,000. Matthew 8, he healed the blind man. Matthew 17, he healed the demoniac boy. In John 9, he healed the man born blind. In Luke 11, he cast out a demon. In Luke 13, he healed the crippled woman on the Sabbath day. In Luke 14, he healed the man of the dropsy. In John 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. In Luke 17, he healed 10 lepers. In Matthew 20, he healed the blind Bartimaeus and his friend. In John 12, he entered Jerusalem on the colt. And in Matthew 21, he withered the fig tree. In Luke 22, he healed the soldier's ear that Peter cut off. In Matthew 16, he came back from the dead. That was an important one. In John 20, he appeared to the disciples behind closed doors. So it looks like he just appeared, didn't actually open the door. In John 21, there was another drought of fishes after Peter said, we go fishing. And in Acts chapter 1, he ascended to heaven while 500 people watched. So what a ministry of miracles. And he told his disciples that you will see greater things. So will we see greater things? Of course we will. If you go to John 14:12, Jesus will remind them again in the upper room as he spent the time alone with his disciples. Notice John 14:12, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Did the disciples raise the dead? Yes, they did. Did the disciples heal multitudes? Yes, they did. Did Paul send out handkerchiefs that he touched and people were healed by touching them? Yes. Many, many miracles. Paul didn't die of a poisonous snake bite. He was rescued from shipwreck, and we could go on and on. But you and I, the Bible says, John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions." I'd say that's pretty great, that one day we get to see many mansions in heaven. The incorruptible mansions, of course. They don't wear out or fall apart. They probably don't even need council approval. Amen, Mark? 1 Corinthians 2:9, let's turn there. One of the many promises of what awaits us, the Bible says, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." In other words, we can try to imagine how great it will be, and it will be greater than that. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1:4 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away." That's awaiting us. But what could be better than we get to see Jesus? Amen? Go to Revelation 4 and we'll see where the Bible gives us a glimpse of this future scene where the redeemed of the church age are in the presence of the Lord. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne." That's us. We will cast our crowns at his feet. We will worship him. We will fall down before his throne. And the Bible tells us, if you go to James 2:5, that after these events, and we've talked about it a lot on Sunday nights, we get to be part of the kingdom. And we could go on all night about how amazing that will be with the geographic changes and being back like the Garden of Eden and people living longer. I'm talking non-redeemed people and the animals, and everybody gets along and no thorns. It'd just be amazing. But James 2:5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" That's us. We are heirs of the kingdom. We get to inherit the kingdom. And so Jesus told his disciples that you shall see greater things than these. But then he goes on to say in John 1:51, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, Jesus is specifically referring back to what's called Jacob's ladder. And let's look at that in Genesis 28. Jacob was in the middle of fulfilling a promise to God. And while this occurred, God gave him a vision in the form of a dream. It says, verse 11 of Genesis 28, "He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." I've never used a rock for a pillow before, but it doesn't sound too nice. It says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." That's the exact wording that Jesus just used, ascending and descending. So he saw a ladder. Jesus said, "One day the angels of God will ascend and descend upon me." Verse 12, 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, And the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Down in verse 19, he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So Jacob saw a ladder, and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending. Jesus said, one day you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon me. So the ladder was representative of Jesus Christ. And what is that telling us? That there's only one way to get from earth to heaven, and that is through Christ. So another way of him saying that for us. But if you go to John 10, he specifically says that he's not only the ladder. In other words, he's not only the only way to get from earth to heaven, but then he is also the door to heaven. So he is the only one, or he's the protector of heaven, and you can't get through the door without going through Christ, because he is the door. Notice John 10:9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus says, I am, he's essentially saying, I am the only entrance to heaven. And he goes on to say in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus Christ, by referring them back, and they would have known about Genesis, they would have read Genesis, the disciples as Jews, and by saying, you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending, he's saying, I am that ladder. I am the way to get from earth to heaven. I am the only mediator between God and men. I am the way. I am the door. But the disciples were told, and we get to read about it in the book of Acts, that they would do greater things. And then, of course, it all started on the day of Pentecost. We can't even imagine seeing 3,000 people saved in one day. That's just something we'll probably never get to see. But they got to see it, and then they got to see miracles upon miracles and people getting saved and churches planted so quickly and powerfully. So they got to see that fulfilled literally in their ministry. That thou shalt see greater things than these. But you and I serve the same God. Amen? Let's never forget that. Psalm 84:10, we'll stop there this evening. So turn over to Psalm 84:10, and let's make it one of our life verses. Just the first bit. I hate it when I do that. That's not the right reference. I forgot to write it down. And maybe it's 81:10. Maybe that's what's throwing me off. Yes, it is 81:10. Just the last phrase of the verse. That's all you need. Memorize it and let's live it. Because Jesus said we'll see greater things. What does it say? Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Don't be afraid to ask big. Amen? Because we serve a great and powerful and big God. He said, disciples, you're going to see greater things. We can see greater things too. Just ask the great God. Ask big, and God will answer big. But whatever we see here on earth, we will definitely see greater things in heaven. When we take the ladder to heaven and go through the door, Jesus Christ, and see our mansion, and see the throne of God, and get our crowns, think what that will be like. We can't, can we? And then we get to go to the kingdom. Greater things. You'll see greater things. Let's pray. Thank you.